you would please this morning to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter 45, and I've been a few different places concerning the message for this morning, but I believe we've got the mind of God, and I'll try my best to mind the Lord and get out of the way. But I want to help us this morning. I believe God's able. Not sure what you came in carrying this morning, but we serve a God who's big enough, who's strong enough, who knows enough, He can do enough, amen, with whatever it is that you're going through this morning. He's a great big God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Him is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen, and thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Genesis chapter number 45, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 25. Read a few verses, try to give a little background and share what's on our heart. Genesis 45, verse number 25. And they went up out of Egypt. Speaking of Joseph's brethren, the eleven children of Israel, Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. Sometimes it's so good that you just about can't handle it. And Jacob's heart fainted because he had been living for some years now as if he was not alive. But all the while that he could not see him, and he could not hear him, and he could not touch him, and he could not find him, all the while that he could not get a hold of him, he was still alive. And I've got good news for you this morning. You may not can find him. You may not be able to hear him. You may not be able to touch him. But he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph has sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being so very good to us. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace that we feel in our souls this morning. I pray, God, what you put in us, your Lord, you'd pour out of us. God, I pray you'd magnify yourself, be high and lifted up above all others today. Get glory, speak a word to every heart. Lord, speak a word for every situation. God, move in your power, please. In Jesus' name, with all the influence of Jesus' name, God, we ask and for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I'll not teach you anything that you do not know this morning, but Joseph in your Bible, probably the clearest type in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus. Far as I know, there are no recordings of Joseph ever failing, though I'm certain he did. There's no recording of Joseph ever venturing away from the will of God for his life. He's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. But he had an enemy. You and I have an enemy. Now I want to speak to you for just a moment on some unchanging truths of Jesus this morning. But we're going to look at some of the early life of Joseph. I want to make a few statements, and then I want to close where we started back in chapter number 45. In chapter number 37, I want to show you how we got here. Chapter 37, verse number 4, as speaking of Joseph's brethren, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. and he could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Can I say something to you this morning? I know you know this, but you do have an enemy this morning. He has no compassion on you. It does not matter how bad it hurts. He doesn't love you. Your best interest is not in mind. He is fueled by an absolute hatred for you and your God and your loved ones and the will of the Father in your life. There is an enemy, a real enemy. Moving on toward the end of that chapter, Joseph's brethren go away to feed their father's flocks. Joseph is sent after them. And when they see him coming, their hatred is stirred for him. And they speak of killing him. But they do not. You remember the story. They put him in a pit. They discussed their prophet. And then they sold him for a piece of money. Well, let's pick up, listen to your Bible, verse 32. And they sent the coat, Joseph's father made a coat for him, many colors, represented his favor. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. Look at verse 35. And his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted, and he said, I want you to notice what he's resolved to this morning. Jacob, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave under my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and the captain of the guard. Don't you notice the scheme of the enemy? There's several pieces that were put together to destroy Joseph. Sometime the enemy in our life put together a scheme, multifaceted in our life to destroy or bring us down. And I mentioned they're fueled by hate. The scheme is founded on lies. How many times, preacher, have I been let down or destroyed or cast down or defeated simply by the lies of the enemy? It facilitated their prophet, but watch this now. It was furthered by Jacob's fear. They never told him that Joseph was destroyed by a beast. He just put together a scenario and let him come to his own conclusions. And so many times, I'm discouraged and defeated and cast down. And how many days have I spent discouraged and depressed simply because I'm putting things together that never were true to begin with? Battling things that do not even exist, trying to figure out what's going on and can't even see the whole picture all the while. It's my fear, it's my anxiety, it's my own limitations that's defeating and discouraging and coming up with scenarios that I cannot overcome. And all the while, it's not even true. It's never even happened. It was furthered by his own fear. The enemy managed to take away the one thing that could have delivered him not out of the trial, but in the trial. Romans 8, Verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope." If you've got hope, you can have joy. If you've got hope, you can have strength. If you, listen, it doesn't matter how dark the day gets. It doesn't matter how strong and powerful the adversary is. If you've got hope, but if he can take away, we're saved by hope. That's saved, not talking about our souls. It's talking about us in this life. Delivered. You can be delivered. But Jacob resigned to live. And I meet people, they've resigned. They've decided that they're going to live in a depressed and a discouraged and a defeated state. They're going to finish their life out. There's no way that you can be happy again after what you've been through. But I got good, glad news for you all the while. All the while. Every day and every night that Jacob lived down and discouraged and defeated and mourning all the while, he's alive. And I've been trying to put it into words what it is that he was doing. He was doing while he was living, and Jacob was living while he like he was dead. You know what Joseph was doing? He's doing right. And I know it don't always seem like it. But you know what Jesus is doing? You know what God is doing? He's doing right, preacher. He's doing right. We studied through the book of Romans, and boy, God helped us. Romans 8, the Bible says, "We know not how to pray for as we ought." I believe God showed me something. I'm still working on practicing, but I believe God showed. You know how come? Do you know how come we don't know how to pray as we ought? Because we don't know what's good for us all the time. We know what's good to us. I had a dog one time. Every boy needs a good dog. It's back when you could run the neighborhoods on your bicycle and groups of your friends would just gather up. We'd run back. And I had this dog. He'd go with me everywhere I went. He'd sit outside my buddy's door. He'd sit at the end of the driveway, wherever we were, and he'd wait. He was a good dog. But he had this problem. He loved to chase cars. He loved to, and you know what? He thought he wanted one till he caught one. Sometimes we think we know what's good for us, but we chase what's good to us, having no idea what'd be good for us. I want to read you a verse, and I felt like God spoke to my heart this morning, then we'll finish the message, go back to our text. In Romans 8, very familiar verse. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." There's no question but that God always does right by us and does good for us. Do you know when what's good for us stops being good to us? It's when we draw back from our love to the Lord. When what's good for us doesn't please us and we fail to love Him, when we fail... Listen, you say, "Preacher, I love God all the time." I understand what you mean, but you have to admit that there's things come into your life that you didn't want and you didn't like. And if not but just for a moment, you drew back a little. And what you were going through wasn't good to you. even though God was doing good for you. But the moment, you know what I thought about this morning, preacher? I can't control anything. I can't control my heartbeat. I can't control my next breath. There's only one thing that I can control, and that's my will. Romans chapters 1 through 3 deals with the sin of man. 4 and up to about 5, chapter 5 verse 25 deals with salvation of man. And nobody can save themselves. Chapter 5, 20, verse 25 on up to about chapter number 7 deals, chapter 7 and 8 deals with consecration. It deals with rather sanctification of the child of God. And you know what? Not only can you not save yourself, you can't sanctify yourself. You can't make your, no more than you can make yourself saved, you cannot make yourself better. A little pause where he deals with the nation of Israel and he picks back up in chapter number 12 like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you know what I can control? Holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Do you know what I can? I can't save myself. I cannot sanctify myself, but I can consecrate myself. That's the part. I can respond in faith to the Lord, recognizing that everything He does is right. He's a good God. He's and back in our text in Genesis, in chapter 45, Jacob been living for some time now, some years, like Joseph was dead. And I'm trying not to get hung up. That room where Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. Oh, I love to get in that place. And when they finally realized who he was. You remember when Jesus showed you who he was? I remember the night. January the 29th, 1999, on a Friday night in camp meeting. Thanks be unto God. I don't know what was going on, but I know who showed up that night. God showed up that night. And what everybody else had been trying to do for me, and what I'd been trying to do for me, and He showed up that night, and God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And for the first time, I feel like I stood in the light of His glory, and it showed up all the dirt and my sinfulness, what I really was. And I said, oh God, forgive me. Thank God for the night He showed me who He was. Joseph sent him back to his father. And you keep in mind, for years now, Jacob living like Joseph was dead. And there wasn't, none of us really believe Jesus is dead. We're here because we believe Jesus is alive. But every one of us get to living sometime like He's dead. And they went out of Egypt, came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob his father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land. And Jacob's heart fainted. Number one, he's alive. I think we've established Joseph's alive. Number two, he's Lord. He's in charge. What is it he was doing while Jacob fought that he was dead? Oh, he's not just living and doing right, but he's Lord. Down there, while Jacob's living like Joseph is dead, Joseph all the while is Lord and in control. And listen, he's going to be the only one that can make a difference in Jacob's life. He's Lord. I like what he said. A couple of times he said, in verse 5, he talking to his brethren, he said, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me. I like it. They thought they did it. It's a good day when you and I realize that neither me nor you are big enough to get in God's way. When God desires a purpose, He'll accomplish it with us or without us. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Boy, I was thinking I could go back in my life and just make little notations. It was not you. That was not you. When I was hurt, and people, and I was rejected, or when I was mistreated, it was not you. It wasn't you. For God did send me. Well, He's in control. He's Lord. Amen. Number 3, this may be the best one. I know how I get. I know how I get in my mind when I've failed or when things aren't going right. How often do we evaluate where we are with God by how things are going? It wouldn't have went real well for the disciples in the ship when the sea was coming in the ship. If they were to look around and say, this ship ain't going to make it, we must not. But they were right in the middle. They were doing exactly what God said. And we often evaluate our standing between us and God by how things look. That's why He had to say, be not angry with yourselves. Don't grieve and be angry with yourselves for you did for sailing me thither. Because He loves us. I'm glad for the long suffering and mercy of God. I'm glad He doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad He don't treat me like sometimes I would treat me. He's a lie. I don't know where you are and what you're going through, but I got good news for you. If you can't see Him, and if you can't touch Him, and you can't hear Him, and you can't feel Him, He ain't going nowhere. He's alive and well. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Not only is He alive, listen, He's Lord. Won't you be very aware that it may have gotten out of your control, but it has not escaped His control. He's the Lord. And He loves you this morning. I know we've already had altar call, and I know the altars were already full, but I got new. I want you to know this. I want you to hear this. If you didn't hear anything, He loves you. He sent His brethren with wagon loads to persuade His Father. Why? Because He loves them. Even though the distance, even though the time, even though how He got where He was, He still loves them. How many of you are glad that in your failures, in your disappointments, in your darkest, you found out over and over and over again that He still loves you? He's a merciful God today. If you're here today, listen, and you've never been saved, oh, I would that you'd heed the drawing power of the good God of glory. He's able today to reach down into the guttermost and save you to the uttermost. Preacher, I'm done.